Blog Talk Radio.
Show, you're also here in our podcast. So hey, welcome to the pod. My name is Sal Mark Lassell, Presidente. I am your director. I am your captain of this ship for the next hour or so. We're going to be talking a lot of different stuff today. NASCAR rolls into Dega, baby. Shake and bake. If you've never seen Talladega Nights, shame on you. Second of all, that is your absolute homework. This weekend is to watch Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell. One of the best and funniest movies you will ever watch, especially when it comes to NASCAR. But Indianapolis rolls into Indianapolis. Here I am. Woo! Well, we broadcast live from high atop our Ballard Studios on the west suburbs of Indianapolis. Got ahead of myself there. NASCAR rolls into Talladega down in Bama. The Xfinity race gets going this afternoon with the Ag Pro 300. And tomorrow it's the Geico 500. I'm here to break it all down for you. Steve Wilson, our official NASCAR contributor and editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com, is actually down at Dega and is in the mix of it all, in the thick of it all, and he is not going to be able to join us. So, hey, you're blessed with me. And in theory... Just kidding. We got Tony Donahue from the Tony D podcast and our official IndyCar contributor. IndyCar hits the streets of Long Beach. And Tony will help us break that down. Also, we'll look ahead at the Pacers, the Bucks playoff series. Well, did you hear something else happened pretty exciting this week here in Indianapolis? Caitlin Clark drafted number one to the Fever. Probably one of the best female collegiate athletes you'll ever see in your lifetime. And the fact that she's going to be here in Indianapolis is really exciting. So we're excited to watch Caitlin. And, you know, ticket prices have gone up. So there you go. There's that. The cost of success, right? But, yeah, pretty excited to have Caitlin Clark here in the city with us here in Indianapolis. Make sure you check us out at the balance, sportscast.com. 917-889-8516 is my digits. Don't want to miss out on this one. It's about to get good.
Y'all ready for this?
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I've seen on the board, do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so, I don't, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian, like, oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
Name in Cal Norton Jr. is the driver. Woo!
Right. Cal Norton, I just want to say to all you other drivers out there, if you smell a delicious, crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of shake, and then...
Shake your butt! That's what you're saying! Get used to hearing it! And Ricky Bobby wins with Cal Norton
Jr. Have a good day, fellas. Are you ready for anything? They're really out of it here.
We're giving them the information about where the energy's coming from, where the cars are pushing, where they're just riding.
We're basically there to tell them what they can't see.
10, 1, 8, 7, 4.
From start to finish, you're constantly trying to put yourself in the right spot, the right situation.
You have to be accurate, you have to be precise, you have to be fast with it.
You know when you need it back outside, one back in.
But as the race goes on, the intensity builds. That's when guys push harder, make riskier moves.
One back 17 up top.
There's no safe place on the racetrack.
When the wreck happens directly in front of you, I mean, your heart drops.
I would rather be lucky than good any day.
Caution, 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 caution.
There's just constantly a flow of information. What your car's doing, when you can take a push.
Still double wide out of two.
Temperatures in your engine.
In the middle, three wide in the middle.
When you're going to pit, what you're looking for.
Car in front is good by one.
What lane works best for you.
One outside, two outside.
Good by half.
Two by two
by
in your quarter.
Up outside.
Half back
still
at least,
there.
Half all the way back.
Four. Tight in front.
Fair up,
front.
One inside.
Out of room.
The fourth row is back.
Middle,
three by 48. Three.
One,
now there's two by
17,
three.
43,
one,
77, six.
Out of room, 35. Roll with it.
My head's spinning thinking about it.
Who will crack the code? This is Talladega.
Hell of a job in there, man. Thanks for sticking with it.
All right, in case you ever wondered what it was like to be behind the scenes in the spotters section with at Talladega, that gets you kind of an insight. You know, I am a huge NASCAR fan. That's no secret to anybody that knows me or listens to this show. I'm also an IndyCar fan. I'm a big racing fan overall, but I always have been fascinated by the spotters themselves. I also have a nerdy obsession. I turn on the scanners and listen to the spotters of all the teams throughout the race and have it going on the Bluetooth as I'm watching the race. If I happen to be at the race, I still tune in to the spotters conversation. It's always fun to watch, and especially at a race like Talladega. I mean, you've got your monumental races that are must-see, must-go to if you're a NASCAR fan. Talladega being one of them. Down in Talladega, Alabama, at Talladega Super Speedway. It is a fast oval. I mean a fast oval. And it's one of the fastest ovals around, if you will. You've got Indy 500, obviously. You've got you've got Texas, and you've got Talladega. Those are all great tracks to go see. Now, of course, you know, Bristol and some of these other races aren't super fast ovals, but they're great tracks to go see and great experience. And, you know, so certainly on my bucket list, you would think a guy like me has been to Talladega, and what's stopping it, right? You know, there's always something, you know, but we'll see what happens. But we're cranking it down to the Geico 500 tomorrow. Talladega, I mean, that's 1 day, 3 hours, and 57 minutes, just in case you're counting. But who's counting, right? Well, we've got a lot on tap also to talk about with the Talladega. And again, watch the movie Talladega. Talladega Nights. Well, a spot tag we had right before it, as we came out of the break there is Ricky Bobby in the Shake and Bake. I love it. You'd be surprised how many people have not seen that movie. Again, your homework, if you've not seen that movie, you need to make a point to go see that movie, or really just turn on your digital stream. You know, it's not in the movie theater, so you can't go see it. Well, we're getting to that. Man, I tell you what, time flies so fast, no pun intended. It's getting that time of year when we're going to start talking about the Cup Series playoffs on the mind throughout the season. And what if there was a way, if you will, to project how the 16 drivers could look before each race weekend? Well, it now exists. I think it's pretty interesting via what's called Racing Insights. From now until the start of the 2024 NASCAR Cup playoffs, the Field of 16 will give fans a weekly look at their favorite drivers and how they can potentially land in the postseason field and the likelihood of having a shot at the Bill France Cup. So we're talking Talladega. You know, we won't do this every week, but we're talking Talladega. And so, you know, this AI is going, and we worked a lot in AI in my real world, but the job that actually pays the bills, I have a lot of fun with it and have been really intrigued with this whole AI phenomenon. Just, you know, being a part of tech and being a part of its capabilities. So I thought, hey, let's play with this field of 16 projected playoff drivers as we stand now. So let's talk a little bit about drivers locked in, okay? So this round of 16, if you will, this AI program called the Field of 16, and it does the projections for us. So here we go without further ado. Let's talk about drivers locked in. With multiple wins in the 2024 already, William Byron and Denny Hamlin are safely in the Cup playoff with 100% probability. Both drivers have their eyes set on the regular season title and the 15 bonus playoffs points that come with it. Hamlin, though, currently sits third in the Cup standings, 28 points behind Kyle Larson for the top of the table. Byron is 38 points behind his Hendrick Motorsports teammates in fifth. So there you go. Those drivers are locked in. So we don't even need to do any really probability conversation about them. So let's go down to drivers that are likely in. Now, there's another shakeup to the playoffs compared to last year's as Chase Elliott returned to the postseason following his Texas victory, with Elliott and Daniel Suarez winning in 2024. That will leave the last two drivers out from last year's field. So we look at this. Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell also locked the provisional spot after their respective wins last in Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and Phoenix for that matter. Larson currently stands as the points leader and will be the regular season champ with an extra 15 player playoff point allotment in the bank. Easy for you to say, right? On points alone now, and with the rich history of good performances, Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Blaney sit in the healthy spot of a quarter of the way through the season, having a favorable track matchup at Talladega and Dover Speedway. So if you're looking at some drivers to, hey, who am I going to put my DraftKings $5 on? You might take a look at that, Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Blaney, because they have good history at the Talladega Motor Speedway. So the next where we want to look at, okay, just like we talk about in March, in the March Madness, and you know how all that plays out, just like we do that. 917-889-8516 is my digits if you want to jump in and talk a little NASCAR, talk a little Dega, or you want to talk about the NFL draft. We might get some conversations in with the NFL draft here in a bit. We had a good conversation last week with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, NSI.com. Follow him at Ed Kratz on the X. But we had a good conversation last week. And so we'll get into a little bit of conversation as far as the Bears, the Colts, that sort of stuff, maybe with Tony if we've got a little bit of time to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the last four in when they're talking about the playoff scenario. Remember, we're using this conversation based on an AI program that will supposedly, anyway, predicts pretty closely the round of 16 for the 2024 playoffs. So the last four in, again, situated much like we talked about in the month of March, gives us this outlook. So. I can't do more than one thing at one time. You just can't do it with me. So here's where Suarez and Elliott victories are really good to make this fight for the final playoff spots interesting. Currently, there are three Cup champs that sit among Racing Insights. Now, Racing Insights, our AI program that I was talking with you about, projected last four in. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, all barely on the right side of the bubble. Excuse me. It's one of those mornings. Got the tickle. And not the moonshine tickle. Maybe that's what I need. Need to put a little moonshine in my Black Rifle coffee here. But sitting on the right side of the bubble. Last season, only Ty Gibbs missed the playoffs among this group. But he's off to a hot start in the 2024, setting sixth in points. So, you know, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch are right there. Now, the driver that should be hovering over the panic button right now is Busch. While he's the defending winner of the spring Talladega event, he's only has three top tens, a single top five, nine races in the season. Coming up short to Suarez by just 0.007 seconds at the Atlanta Motor Speedway could loom large for Busch's playoff hopes in the number eight Richard Childress Racing team that does its turn this season, if they don't turn the season around. So really, you got to look for Kyle Busch to make some quick adjustments to get his team on the right side. Because according to this, he would be the last four in. Now, let's talk about, again, following the same model that we would in March during the March Madness when we were doing our brackets and bracket predictions and all that. It's hard to believe we just went through that one. A lot of fun. A lot of bracket busters, though, man. But you saw UConn coming with that. I digress. I know. Squirrel. Let's talk about the first four out. Ricky Steinhaus Jr. and 2023 playoff driver is well outside the playoff picture at the moment. But the surprise could be this. Now, Michael McDowell, let's pause for a minute and talk about Michael McDowell. How cool of a dude is he? He's won the Daytona 500. He's right there in all the races. He's in contention. He's been around for so many years, and he's probably the driver that has been around the longest that nobody really knows who he is, even though he is a Daytona 500 winner. I like Michael McDowell. I've had a chance to meet him before, and he's just had a very good ebbs and flows career in NASCAR, but he stuck with it, and he's right there in the thick of it. I mean, again, could be in the first four out, so we've got to get back on track here, but I like Michael McDowell, so I'm rooting for him. But getting left out with a probability of under 20%, according to Racing Insights, again, that's our AI program. And we'll look at this each week. We won't go through it all, but I just thought, hey, it's Talladega, and you gave the car keys to me today. What else did you expect? And we're going to hit a few curves. I mean, because I'm going to go out at 100 miles an hour, so right? So we'll look in on it every week, at least kind of glance at it and talk a little bit about it in conversation in our NASCAR conversations. But not looking good for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. But still, according to the Racing Insights, with a good chunk of road courses on the regular season slate, there's plenty of opportunity for the number 34 to return to victory lane. Now let's talk about Alex Bowman. After missing the playoffs last year, 2024 is a big year for this Arizona kid, or not kid anymore, is he? But he's younger than me, so he's a kid. He's been on a bit of a hot streak over the last month with three top tens in the last four races before crashing out last Sunday at the Texas Motor Speedway. However, with the depth of the Cup field, as strong as Gibbs has been in the start of the year, it will be a huge challenge for the number 48 to make the postseason without grabbing a checkered flag. So there's your first four out. Alex Bowman. No, I'm sorry. Ricky Steinhaus Jr. Getting ahead of myself. The first four out, Ricky Steinhaus Jr., Michael McDowell, Alex Bowman, and Ty Gibbs. Sorry. I'll get there. I'm there. Don't worry. I think Kyle Busch is going to be right there in the mix as everything as well. Now, let's have a little fun with this scenario thing. We'll get on into some Xfinity talk here before we jump into some other talk with Tony Donahue. We're going to be talking IndyCar out in Long Beach. Who can shake up the playoff picture at Dega? Talladega, baby. The answer really is anybody. Anybody eligible for the postseason? From Truex to Zane Smith, every playoff eligible driver will have a shot at a playoff bid at Talladega this weekend. The Bubba Wallace, he's another fun one to kind of be watching and keep your eyes on and see what's going on with Bubba Wallace. He's kind of had a bit of an up and down racing experience, if you will. He now races for Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. But Bubba Wallace and both Ross Fenway, Kowalski racer drivers, and Chris Buescher, Kowalski, jump out as those that are likely to be the next ones to punch their ticket into the 16-driver dance. Others say Blaney, though, Ryan Blaney, but don't think the defending champion qualifies as a true playoff shakeup. Does it? I mean, if you're the defending champion, are you really, if you get into the playoffs by getting a win at Talladega, does that really mean you shut things up? I don't know. Yeah, if we're looking at the long shot for the weekend, I like Todd Gilliland. Todd, Mr. Cheat. He was strong in both Daytona and Atlanta before getting caught up in those wrecks. If both Front Row Motorsports have speed, you know, look out. Look out. And by the way, speaking of wrecks, Talladega, it's going to happen. It's one of those where you know at Talladega you're going to see the big one. Now, where would that be? Probably closer to the end of the race. They want to keep you around watching the whole race before they have the big one, right? Really, what causes those big ones? I mean, it's more times than not, the lion's share of the time, is the restarts. And those restarts can be a tricky bear, if you will. And again, especially toward the front in the middle of the pack. And if you're stuck in the middle of the pack, you get caught up in all that carnage. You know, a lot of times that's just going to end your day real badly. But again, if you're rooting for a driver and maybe you've got some money on a driver and he's toward the back and he's able to get around the carnage, a lot of times he does well. So, you know, you don't want to see anybody hurt. You don't want to see anybody, you know, killed by all means. But you do like seeing that wreck. Just something about the big one. And what's really amazing is able to watch these drivers just crawl out of the cars and like nothing happened. They're just on for the ride. So anyway, we'll see what's going on. But good news, bad news for NASCAR Cup teams entering Talladega this weekend for the third time in the first 10 races of the season. NASCAR Cup teams will compete at a drafting style track this weekend. This series at Talladega Speedway. Each of the seven Cup races at Talladega has had a different winner. Those are Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Ryan Blaney. So we'll see what happens. And we've got some teams that we're looking at. Which, by the way, I should probably put a period. We have moved on from our AI. we will check back in on that later on throughout the season. But I thought it was pretty cool that Driver Insights does provide that for us. So we're no longer sitting around on the AI program. I can get dangerous with that. 917-889-8516 is our digits. Thank you so much for joining us on The Balance. Thank you to all of our listeners over there on Spotify, on Apple Tunes, Amazon, iHeart, Stitcher. Tune in. If you're listening to us on the podcast on your platform, thank you. Make sure you hit like. We know how awesome we are. We just want to know how awesome you are. And the great thing about it is you're hearing our show live as we do it. And we don't do any of that fancy editing room kind of stuff. We do a live show, and then we drop the podcast shortly after. You can always listen to us live. If you are listening to us live, we love having you. Here on Blog Talk Radio, our facilitator. So listen to us live every week. We always post all the links up on social media. We'll talk about some teams, though. You know, we talk about the good news, bad news, if you will, the good news, bad news when it comes to NASCAR Cup teams entering Talladega. So let's talk a little bit about 23XI Racing. You know, that's the team that Bubba Wallace races for, owned by Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. The good news is last weekend was the second consecutive weekend that the team had a finish in the fourth and seventh. At Martinsville, Bubba Wallace was fourth and Tyler Reddick was seventh. Last weekend, at Texas, Reddick was fourth and Wallace was seventh. And I tell you what, let me rewind. We're going to get into the Xfinity racing here in just a minute, and maybe we'll recap a little bit about that. But you cannot get a closer finish than the Xfinity race last week, and it would have been so nice to see a different winner on that. But it was a lot of fun to watch. So all the more reason to stick it in the race. Now, let's go back to 23XI racing. So the bad news is Wallace's win at Talladega in October 2021 was the last time a Toyota Cup race was on a DraftKings-style track. And Toyota is winless in 14 races since Wallace's victory. Can he turn it around this weekend at Talladega? We hope so, because, you know, based on the prediction that we were just talking about, he's going to have to do something. And if he gets a win, he's secured a spot. We're sure he's locked in. We're sure. You got Front Row Motorsports. You know, we like to talk a little bit about Front Row Motorsports on this show. You know, talking about Bubba Wallace, thank you, Melissa, our producer. She just sent this over from on the X. Bubba Wallace is talking some smack on the X. We all know NASCAR gave the bubbles win, but because it's going to rain, only way he can win, won't be watching. Okay, that's Bubba Wallace. One winless streak was broken last weekend. So we'll see which driver will make it to the end. That's Bubba Wallace on the X, formerly known as Twitter. Let's go on over to Front Row Motorsports. The good news is Todd Gilliland. Remember, I told you I like him as a dark horse for this weekend. Todd Gilliland has led 74 of 460 laps to run this season at the DraftKings-style tracks. That's 16% of those laps. Michael McDowell, while qualified second for the Daytona 500, and on the pole at Atlanta in the two previous races in the DraftKings-style race seasons. The team that had a car finish in the top 10 in both Talladega races last year, both were by the number 36 car. Riley Hurst was the car for the fall race, and Todd Gilliland was the car for the spring race. Again, any Front Row Motorsports cars get fast. Look out. But the bad news is the number 36 is not entered this weekend at Talladega. Hendrix Motorsports, obviously that's Kyle Larson and his organization, not his organization, but he's certainly the face of that organization. They won three out of the last four and led 46.7% of the laps in those races. Hendrick Motorsports also had William Byron, who had a series best three victories at drafting tracks with the next-gen car. Chase Elliott was the second three consecutive top five finishes, including his win at Texas. The bad news, though, is Kyle Larson has one top five finish in his 43 career races at a drafting-style track. He's failed to finish five of the last eight races at such tracks due to an accident. Alex Bowman is winless in 37 Cup Super Speedway races. So something to look at there. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. 917-889-8516. We are talking some NASCAR. It is Dega, baby. Let me get into some Xfinity race. That's happening today, tonight, this afternoon, 4 o'clock. And the way I understand it, the final eight races, I digress, will the Xfinity series will air on the CW network. It's kind of a different look, if you will. But, you know, they're the ones that did the IndyCar docuseries. The name escapes me right now, but either which way. They did a good job. I think they're actually owned by, I'm pretty sure that they're owned by NBC, CW Network. Frog anymore. Remember they had a bullfrog that used to be like their mascot? 4 o'clock today, Xfinity Racing, the Ag Pro 300. starting grid, you got Austin Hill, Chesty Love, Parker Klugerman, Cole Custer, and Sammy Smith round up the top five at Talladega. Yeah, it was 100 Days to May was what that docuseries was on CW. Talladega is a super exciting race to watch. If you're doing your DraftKings, if you're doing your DraftKings $5 bets, like we do on our show, talking a little bit here about some of the things to look at before you put your $5 bet on for the Xfinity race. Austin Hill wins the pole position in Saturday's Ag Pro 300. He's joined in the front row by Jesse Love. The rest of the starting lineup, you can find relatively easy. So some qualifying updates: Parker Klugerman, Sheldon Creed, Jesse Love, Josh Williams, Riley Hurst, Austin Hill, Ryan Truex, Sammy Smith, Cole Custer, and Chandler Smith are in the final rounds of qualification. So those are things to look at when you're doing your Xfinity picks for today, your DraftKings Xfinity picks. And we'll see how that race pans out today. But we've pretty much ran out of time. I didn't get a chance to see. I drove the car too fast. Hey, we're talking NASCAR. Why aren't we driving the car too fast? Steve Wilson, editor-in-chief of SpeedwayDigest.com and our official NASCAR contributor, couldn't make it today because he's in the thick of it all. Pressers and getting into the track and all of that stuff just made it. And they're an hour behind us. This made it difficult for him to call in. We will catch up with him again soon. Coming up next, Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking IndyCar. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Pacers, Bucks, NBA playoffs are here. And yes, the Pacers are. We're going to put on our homer card here in Indianapolis, as that's where we're based at, high atop the Balance Studios in the west suburbs of Indianapolis. My name is Tom Marcos, El Presidente. Stick around. It's about to get faster.
Russell watched TV after his high school graduation. 3 solid months of ESPN. Till his daddy told him, son, that's the end of your vacation. Go get a job or we're gonna charge you rent. So Russell got a job, got fired that same day. A cashier he wasn't meant to be. Well, he went back to the couch, turned on the race, and he said, hot damn, now there's the job for me. So Russell got a loan and went to NASCAR school, where the future NASCAR drivers learn the one big NASCAR rule. Go straight, take a left, go straight, take a left.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike... you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, they're one of my eyes.
Quit moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I haven't seen on the board. Do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so I don't, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Le Croix Piquet, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good.
My name is Don Marquisel, Presidente. We're standing by for Tony Donahue, the Tony D Podcast. Going to be helping us break down IndyCar. They are rolling into Long Beach. It's a great race to watch. I'm excited to watch that. And more importantly, really excited for IndyCar to be back. I love me some IndyCar, especially when it comes to the Indy 500. That is my happy place out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway down at 16th in Georgetown. And it can't come fast enough. It cannot come fast enough. So we're going to be talking some IndyCar here in just a moment with Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast. We've been talking a little bit of Dega today because it's Talladega weekend, the Ag Pro 300 and the Geico 500 all happening this weekend at one of the fastest racetracks in the South. Joining us now, Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. Doing a little shaking and baking today, huh? Talladega. Gotta love Talladega. We're gonna be talking some IndyCar, but of course Talladega is this this weekend. I mean, you follow racing a lot too, but I don't know if you've seen this thing called Racing Insights they put out. It's kind of like an AI thing where you're able to like predict the probability of the playoffs. Have you seen that with NASCAR?
I have not.
It's actually pretty cool. I'll send you the link later. But anyway, just talking about the probabilities of what happens with this weekend and so forth. But you take a look at Talladega, one of the best NASCAR races of all time. They named a movie after it, for God's sake. And I think I've asked you this before, and I think you have, but have you seen the movie Talladega Nights?
Of course.
Okay. Well, you'd be surprised, especially at my work. People didn't even know what that movie was. So, okay, great. What are your thoughts about Talladega this weekend? And we want to get into some IndyCar talk. What are your thoughts as you look at the Geico 500 and the at a close reunion.
Yeah, I think tomorrow a guy that I'm looking for is Brett Keselowski. Look, he was second last week, kind of got his mojo back. It'd been a couple struggles. He was 24th in Martinsville 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago in Richmond. He was eighth, but it's been an inconsistent year for Brad Keselowski. He's like 33rd when they ran down on the road course in Austin, Texas. So this is these restricted play tracks between Atlanta and Talladega and Daytona have been good to Brad Keselowski, have been good to RFK. You know, we know that Chris Buescher has a couple wins. He's always strong there, but can Brad Keselowski get over the hump, push it forward, and win again at Talladega and win for the first time as an owner driver? I mean, he's 40 years old now. This is supposed to be like a resurgence to his career after him and Penske split ways, but we haven't seen him break through in the victory circle yet. So I think first and foremost, all eyes are on Brad Keselowski. We know Ryan Blaney's going to be right there. He's always good at these restrictor plates. Can Bubba Wallace break through for a restrictor plate win after a couple runner-up finishes at both Daytona and Talladega? I think it's something to watch for. And then, you know, it seems like finally everybody, Rick Hendrick, is firing in all cylinders. Bowman hasn't won a race this year, but he's always fast at these tracks. Obviously, Chase Elliott breaking out last year for the victory, or last week for the victory. Hendrick finally, you know, Kyle Larson, obviously there's a lot of excitement behind him building up for the Indy 500 as well. But looks like Hendrick is finally firing on all cylinders. And can they stay up front tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be an exciting race. It's always exciting at Talladega. Who is your $5 DraftKings pick for the Xfinity race and the Cup race?
You know, why not Brad Keselowski, right? Like, why not break through? You could probably get okay odds on it for $5, go from there. Seems like Austin Hill is always the guy that wins these races at Daytona and Talladega in Xfinity and the trucks. Give me Austin Hill, the one from the pole. But if you want an upset special, maybe somebody to make a little money on. Why not AJ Allmendinger, and why not him going to the top? So should be a really good race today, and should be exciting to watch.
Fantastic, and you know what? My dark horse, I would like Todd Gilligan. When those front row motorsport teams get going, especially there at Talladega, they get going. We'll see what happens. Let's go over to Long Beach, one of the really exciting races on the circuit with IndyCar, the Grand Prix of Long Beach, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, and the streets of Long Beach, 1 day, 4 hours, and 21 minutes, if you're counting, till the green flag out in Long Beach. Talk with us a little bit about what you know about Long Beach and really what makes it, it's kind of the Hollywood affair, if you will, of IndyCar.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the best races on the schedule. It's one of the premier races on the schedule. Everybody wants to win there. There's a lot of celebrities there. You're in Southern California. You're in Southern California for the second time this year for IndyCar. But it's prestigious. There are great sight lines. It's a great racetrack. We had our first practice yesterday afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a really good race, and it's good to be talking about points paying IndyCar races again. It's been since St. Pete in early March, which was 6 weeks ago. Obviously, we had the race in Thermal where it was a non-points paying race, but now you got a points paying race coming up. And as you know, Tom, it really starts to get going here with this race. Then they go to Alabama next week, a week off, but that week off is really just a plug-and-play weekend where you're going to be loading into the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, getting ready for that road course weekend, obviously with practice on Friday and qualifying, and then Saturday you have the race. And then we turn all eyes for 10, 12 days to the Indianapolis 500.
I'm excited about that. You know that. That is, as I was saying earlier, that is one of my happy places, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Pato Award. And, again, it showed why he's overdue for an NTT IndyCar Series victory. He led practice at the Grand Prix of Long Beach. He turned a top lap of over 1 minute, 6.874 seconds. And then the number five, Errol McLaren Chevrolet. What are your thoughts on Pato Award for tomorrow?
You've been waiting for Pato Award to break through for that win, right? Look, this is a guy who's finished second multiple times. He had one of the best cars last year at St. Pete before getting taken out, and you're just waiting. And I talked to him a few weeks ago at the test, and I said,
what's it going to take? You know, when's that breakthrough coming? And he said, look, I hope it's coming soon. We're trying. We have the best cars at a lot of these racetracks. We just can't seem to put it all together. So, you know, it's a concrete jungle out in Long Beach. You can bounce off the wall and it can end your day real quick. Pato's one of the most aggressive drivers on the track. You know, we'll see if he can keep it up front today. It was a nice CM on top yesterday. But again, it just seems like, you know, you go back to St. Pete last year, a year ago, and he's running up, he's leading with two laps to go. Something happens with the engine, you know, losing the spot. I mean, he was second at the Grand Prix last year. He was running up front at the 500 before. He was great at Iowa, but couldn't get over the hump to beat Joseph Newgarden. So it seems like Pato has been like the redheaded stepchild of winning an IndyCar race. He's been so close. He's knocking on the door, and I won't be surprised if it happens this weekend.
All right, let's kind of go through some of these drivers here. Obviously, we want to touch base first and foremost. Joseph Newgarden is kicking the season off with a P1 and a win out in St. Pete. Obviously, the defending Indianapolis 500 champion, fan favorite. You got to start with a favorite out in Long Beach up of Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, Joseph's won here in Long Beach before. He's been fast. You know, he told me in the offseason, you know, one thing that we really have to work on is our road and street course package, specifically on the street courses. So what does he do? He goes out St. Pete first race of the year and wins it. And he'll be good. He'll be good here at Long Beach. He was good here last year. And there isn't a race on a schedule where you can count out Joseph Newgarden, that's for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about Scott Dixon. If you think about it, he might be kind of in a – we're talking about Award. He might be kind of in a bench battle with Award this weekend, which really last year really kind of ruined his race, and he finished 27th. So you think maybe he's out for revenge this weekend with in his number 9 PNC Chip Ganassi Honda?
Yeah, I think when you look at Scott Dixon, you know, this is a guy who kind of came on really strong at the end of the year last year, you know, and obviously had a really good car at the Indianapolis. But if you look at his results at Long Beach, I mean, 27th last year, 6th the year before, you know, had a podium a couple years ago, but he's been very inconsistent at the Long Beach Grand Prix in the last couple of years. But, you know, it's been feast or famine. He's either been on the podium, he's either won like he did in 2015, or he's finished, you know, outside of the top 10. So consistency this weekend, I think, will be key for Scott Dixon. And you know, he won on a street course back in 2022 in Nashville. So, again, just like Joseph Newgarden, you can't count out Scott Dixon.
Let's talk about his teammate, Alex Palou, over there at Chip Ganassi in the number 10 Honda. Palou has shown a lot of maturity and growth, you know, on the road street court circuits. What are your thoughts? He finished 8th at Grand Prix at St. Pete. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, Palou won it out of Thermal Club. Won that All Star race. You know, I mean, I actually talked to him during the test and I said, hey, you know, has everything kind of calmed down for you? You know, the last couple of years it's been, oh, McLaren lawsuit. Oh, you know, we've got this going on. There's been some distractions, but now, you know, you're a father. Have things kind of settled down for you? And he said, absolutely. Things have definitely settled down. Finally, there's not as much noise in the background. I can just focus in on the two most important things, which is going racing and my family. So I think it's crazy to say, but we've seen a resurgence out of Joseph Newgarden and Alex Palou to start the season. I know you're saying, wait a minute, resurgence. Palou's won the championship last year. He's won the championship 2 out of the last 3 years. Newgarden won the Indianapolis 500. What do you mean resurgence? Well, there was a lot of distraction going on for Alex Palou, as we know, with the lawsuit with McLaren and where he was going to go and F1 this and whatever distraction. Those are finally gone. And same with Joseph. You know, I think he thought after Indy last year, he kind of lost touch in what was important inside of the race car because you were doing media obligations and you had your bus bros and you had all the other side things, and he's eliminated those distractions. So I think we've seen a resurgence out of both of those drivers.
You know, a driver that I like to watch and I'm just a fan of, and that's Colton Herta. You know, and Herta won this race in 2021, I believe it was. But he's just been on fire. You can never rule out Colton Herta in the number 26 Gainbridge Honda. What are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, I think Andretti Global as a whole this weekend is the team to watch for. Colton won, you know, a couple years back. Kyle Kirkwood, Andretti Global, got his first career win last year. They add Marcus Ericsson to the mix. This is Ericsson's second race with the team, third if you count Thermal. Ericsson was a front row starter in this race last year and finished on the podium. And I asked Marcus, I said, you know, you've got testing going on here at the track, and you know, but how important is it to continue to gain momentum with these new team members? And he goes, oh, the next couple of weeks are crucial because you want to have momentum going into the month of May. You want to know these guys. And I think Andretti Global scaling back to three cars, having three capable drivers that have great contracts that don't have to worry about anything, but just getting in the car and going fast, see that really come to fruition this weekend. I think Marcus Ericsson is going to be right up front. I think Colton Herta is going to be right up front. And I think Kyle Kirkwood is going to be right up front.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Kyle Kirkwood because he's certainly going to be there. And he's been a fun driver to watch from his time over at AJ Foyt. Now he's with Andretti, I know. Hey, let's take a look at some of the drivers that might be on the outside looking in, but they're fun to talk about. Alexander Rossi, I know you like him, and we like to watch him as well, and he does well on the street courses. Rossi finished eighth in the Grand Prix of St. Pete. Too many Grand Prix. What are your about your guy Alexander Rossi there?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's from California, right, likes to perform in his home state. Hasn't really knocked down the door of a win with Aero McLaren yet. He's in his second season with the team. He finished fourth at Indy last year, but wasn't really ever a threat to win the race. I think you look back last year, and it was O'Ward, Newgarden, Ericsson, and Santino Ferrucci that were really a threat to take the lead and win the race. And Rossi finished an impressive fourth, but he really wasn't ever in contention to battle for the win. He's won here at Long Beach twice before with Andretti Global. That's a team that's won 4 out of 5. Now he's with Aero McLaren. You've got Pato O'Ward, who was fastest on the charts. You got Theo Pourchaire, who's there in his first career race. I think he was P20 in his first practice yesterday. So, you know, it's tough. You had Colin Mylott as your teammate the first two races. Now he's out because he has other obligations and other racing series. So you bring in a rookie who has no experience. You know, I don't know how much that'll affect a guy like Alexander Rossi when it comes to data and moving forward and making the car faster. But I certainly think a top six is in the cards for Rossi this weekend.
Talking with Tony Donahue, the Tony D podcast, talk a little bit of IndyCar as we are just getting the things geared up for the Indy 500 as well. Lots going on this weekend in racing between Talladega and Long Beach. So I need your $5 Long Beach pick, sir, for IndyCar.
You know, at 12-1, I like Marcus Ericsson. I think that's a really good pick. I think if you put some change on the Andretti Global guys, you might have a chance for a nice return. I like Scott McLaughlin to finish on the podium in a top three. He was fast yesterday. I think he's hungrier than ever. He just found out he's going to be a father. I don't think last year went as well as he thought it was going to. But I think he's got a couple good tracks coming up for him. He's not been good at the Indianapolis 500, but McLaughlin's been decent at the road course here at IMS. He won Barber last year, and he's had a fast car at Long Beach. So I think we're going to see Scott McLaughlin battling for the win over the next three races.
Well, I can't wait. It's going to be really exciting to watch. Well, let's put it on our Homer hat here, and let's move back over here to Indianapolis, obviously where we're based at. We're talking some NBA playoffs, but we got to start with the Pacers. But before we do that, how about the excitement of Caitlin Clark coming to Indianapolis as the number one overall pick in the WNBA? There was a chart that said tickets were $35 prior to the draft, and now they're over $400. That's crazy. And she now has the top-selling jersey in WNBA. Now, there is that contract between WNBA, and we don't need to get into all the salary stuff, but that was really brought to attention this week. But it was really exciting to see Caitlin Clark here in the city and certainly getting the national tour in Indianapolis, getting on the national look. What are your thoughts about Caitlin Clark and the Fever this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great for the town. It's great for the city. It's great for the WNBA. It's great for basketball in general. She'll obviously make a lot more money in her endorsements and things that she can do on the side. But, you know, it was just it's cool. It's really cool to see that Indianapolis, you know, I mean, if you look at it and you look at it properly, you've got young talent all across the board. You've got obviously Anthony Richardson for the Colts. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers. Paul Skeens is playing for the Indianapolis Indians. He's one of the best up-and-coming pitchers that'll be with the Pittsburgh Pirates in no time. Then you add Caitlin Clark to the mix. It's just good for everybody. It's good for the economy. You know, she'll have to gain some weight, I think, a little bit to play in the WNBA game and not get pushed around. She's a great passer. She can obviously score. I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do in the Fever uniform and all the excitement that she brings.
Oh, absolutely. And I really am as well. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I'm just curious. What is going on with Greg Dewell and Caitlin Clark in the press conference? I've been seeing stuff all over social media about it. It made national Fox News. Do you have any sense of what is going on there?
You know, I mean, Greg's just an odd guy. I think
he is a
I think
guy.
I think it was kind of a premeditated question that he knew he was going to ask, and I think that in his brain it sounded probably a lot better than what it did when it came out. It came out really awkward, unprofessional, and a little bit creepy. The Indy Star loves their clicks. They love their drama, and that's definitely what they got.
Valid point. Moving on. The Pacers are in the playoffs. We got the Bucks. The Greek freak, if you will, as they call him, is hurt. That could play to our advantage. I think we've got a good position in the playoffs, and if we get past the Bucks, tell me what you think about this, but I think we've got a good shot in the East. Now, I don't think we're going to the championship game, but I think the Pacers can finally bring back their dominance in playoff play. Break down the Bucks and the Pacers. We start off tomorrow. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I certainly don't want to look any forward, anything more forward than what we have right now in front of us for the Pacers with the Bucks. I mean, this is a young team in the Pacers that some guys have some playoff experience, but Tyrese Halliburton doesn't. Some of these young guys, Nesmith and Nimhard and, Ben Shepherd, who's a rookie, T.J. McConnell, has some playoff experience, but it's still a very young team. You've got to take advantage of game one. You don't know what Giannis is. Status is going to be. We know he's going to miss game one, but will he miss game two and three? I mean, so you got to really take advantage on the road, steal home court advantage, and take advantage without Giannis. I mean, this is the Pacers team that early in the season had the number of the Milwaukee Bucks, as we know, beat them, I think, three in a row. I think they're 4-1 against them, putting that win in the NBA play-in tournament, in which the Pacers went all the way to the championship game of that, lost to the Lakers in Vegas, as we know.
Let's walk away right on the NBA. Go ahead.
I think you really have to take advantage and get a win in game number one tomorrow if you want to go far in a series.
Let's go walking around the NBA in playoffs. We've got a lot of game ones today, 1:00. The Magic and the Cavs. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Magic team, they're a lot of fun. They really defend. They're young. They have some good talent. Unfortunately, Cleveland has Donovan Mitchell is going to be the best player on the court. But I think this is going to be a relatively good competitive series. I think you'll see Cleveland win this in six. But, this should be good. This is a very, very, very fun-to-watch Magic team.
What about the Suns and the Timberwolves? They tip off at 3:30 today.
Yeah, the Suns have the experience in Kevin Durant, right? So that's going to be to their advantage. And this is a really good young team led by Anthony Edwards with Minnesota. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, they've got some pieces. But they haven't been able to put it together as a team, and they haven't been able to put it together as a franchise. I'll take Phoenix to take this one in six.
And we like the Sixers, the 76ers, that really show that they have a place in the playoffs earlier this week. But the Sixers and the Knicks, exciting playoff game for them, game one. What are your thoughts of the Sixers and the Knicks?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the better series. I think the Sixers are really good. They survived that play-in. Joel Embiid, they've really found something in Tyrese Maxey, who's a great player, who can spread the floor and score 35 to 40 points a night if needed. I think this will be a really good series. I think the Knicks win it in seven, but it's going to be a must-watch series, I think, throughout the entire, because I think this is, of all the series to have a chance to go seven games, I certainly think this has the best chance.
And then we got the Lakers and the Nuggets. A lot of people think the Denver Nuggets can push the Lakers out in round one, and I tend to subscribe to that theory. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Nuggets, obviously the defending champions. The Lakers get in on the play-in win. They're a tough team, though. Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves has really stepped up this year. Torian Prince has been a guy that's been knocking down threes, and obviously LeBron just has a different gear in the playoffs, as we know. We'll see if there's a fatigue factor with them playing that in that play-in game, and obviously the Nuggets having a couple nights off, and then you got to really be careful because, you know, playing up in Denver, that altitude can get to you, and over a seven-game series, that could really be a deterring factor. I think the Nuggets will win this one in six, but I think we'll see all six games be really competitive and come down to the wire.
Two series that have already started. Let's start with the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat pulled off the win, 112-91 yesterday. What are your thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Miami, you know, without Jimmy Butler, knocks off the Bulls, eliminates the Bulls from the playoffs. Now they're in, and, you know, after the with the play-in tournament there. So the Heat get Boston now in a seven-game series. I think Boston will probably win that in five. I think Miami will win one game at home, but without Jimmy Butler and playing a second, playing two extra games, I don't think Miami can hang with Boston.
Well, there was a huge disturbance in the force yesterday when the Pelicans got a win 105-98 over the Kings. A lot of people are wanting to see that Bay matchup between Golden State and the Kings in the final divisional championship games. What are your thoughts on that series? Are the Pelicans going to be able to take down the Kings?
Well, yeah, they eliminated them last night with that win. So the Kings are done, which is kind of crazy. Okay. The Kings team really good throughout the year, and De'Aaron Fox has played well. They just haven't been able to piece it all together. So the Pelicans, which C.J. McCollum is playing really well, Zion's hurt. We'll see if Zion can play in this seven-game series coming up with the number one team in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the Thunder team that's got a lot of good young pieces, but they don't have any playoff experience. So we'll see how far the Thunder can go as the number one seed in the Western Conference.
All right, Tony, we're about time to wrap it up and put a bow on it. But real quickly, next weekend is the draft. I know you got a big draft party going on, the Bullseye event for the Colts. Tell us a little bit about that, and what are your thoughts on what can we expect from the 2024 NFL draft?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of quarterbacks go, and a lot of quarterbacks go early. There's a lot of wide receivers in this draft as well. And I think if you're on the Colts, you know, you've got a really good opportunity to get you know, a good player in that first round. You could trade up and maybe get a wide receiver, maybe get somebody who can be a playmaker now. You could trade back and still have an opportunity to pick up some really, really good talent. So the Colts have options. You could stay at 15. There's a lot of players there that would make sense. The Brock Bowers tied in out of Georgia. You could trade back and still get a really, really good player because this is a pretty stacked draft, especially in the wide receiver department, which is, you know, what the Colts need. And also in the defensive end and cornerback position, you know, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, these are all guys that I think the Colts could trade back and still get a top-tier talent late in the first round.
Tony, where can people find you working masterpieces, sir?
Yeah, check us out at Tony DeIndy on Twitter. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up. Hope to see you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Talk with you soon. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
Tony Donahue, the Tony D Podcast, helping us break down IndyCar out in Long Beach. We're getting close to the Indy 500. Of course, we have Talladega this weekend, the Ag Pro 300 and the Geico 500 on Sunday. Going to be exciting. Talladega, baby. Talladega. Shake and bake. Remember your homework assignment. If you have not seen Talladega Nights, you need to go watch it right now. Drop what you're doing. Go watch it. My name is Tom Marquis. El Presidente, make sure you follow us on the X at T-Balance and on the Book of Faces. I'm out of here. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Faces.
Russell watched TV after his high school graduation. Three solid months of ESPN. Till his daddy told him, son, that's the end of your vacation. Go get a job or we're gonna charge you rent. So Russell got a job. Got fired that same day, a cashier he wasn't meant to be. Well, he went back to the couch, turned on the race, and he said, hot damn, now there's the job for me. So Russell got a loan and went to NASCAR school, where the future NASCAR drivers learn the one big
car rule.
Go straight,
take a left, take a left, go straight, take a left, take a left, go straight. Go straight, take a left, go straight, take a left, go straight.
Go.